The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Mike Missinelli Show. What a day this is going to be. At least I hope it is, because if you saw what all of us saw, you're going to have some reaction. This was, I guess we witnessed perhaps the best weekend of football ever in our lifetimes. This playoff, yesterday's playoff football was as good as it gets in sports. I've always said that, arguably the best playoff season is the NHL. But my God, football yesterday. That's incredible what happened yesterday. And if you watch that game, if you're an Eagle fan and you watch that game, there can't be anybody left that is going to make some kind of an argument for all you need is a game manager and a really good team around a game manager. Because you saw yesterday how elite quarterbacks make the difference. And I wonder how, like, we'll put this right out of the chute. How many people watching those games, how many have arrived at the conclusion that you cannot be an elite team, or your chances are that you can't be an elite team with the quarterback you have now? I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I'm sure that thought wafted through people when you saw how great quarterbacks in the league are able to negotiate a football field when their team needs it. I mean, it's incredible what happened yesterday. Elite quarterbacks make a difference. You saw where, with an elite quarterback in charge, the offenses stay cool, the defenses freak out. And that's what happened yesterday. You saw the defense, good defenses freak out against elite quarterbacks who can make a difference. Now, there's a lot of things that we have to sort through in this game. Yeah, the overtime rules a whole bit. Now, let me just add this, because I know people during the playoffs decide to make a bet. It's real easy to make a bet online anymore, right? We do ours at Bet Rivers. People do theirs with other betting sites. So yesterday, I had bets, or during the weekend, I had bets on the Titans, the Rams, and the Bills. Now, when you watch a game like, and all this kind of stuff happens and you don't have money on it, you appreciate the wonderment of the game. When you have money on it, the wonderment of the game is overridden by the angst that you feel as you're betting a game. Like, for instance, let's just take, if you had the Bills yesterday, a lot of people had the Bills. 1-point line, I thought the Bills were going to win the game. I'm watching the game, I can't believe what I'm seeing. The way those two teams went back and forth. I can't believe that with 13 seconds left to go in the game, the Kansas City Chiefs were going to be able to send it in overtime, get the benefit of a coin flip, and win the game. I wasn't seeing that. I wasn't seeing it. Andy Reid, the worst time management guy maybe in the history of the NFL, especially when he's here, with 13 seconds left, has 3 timeouts left to facilitate him getting the ball down the field to kick a field goal. Nothing makes sense except the consistency of a great quarterback and the consistency of great skill players. You get the ball, Tyreek Hill, on down one. You got 20 yards all of a sudden. You're almost at midfield. Bang! Skill players, quarterbacks, they make the difference. Next play, Jason Kelce. Bang! I mean, Travis Kelce. Bang! Skill players make the difference. Buffalo Bills, number one defense in the league. Freaking out. Oh, my God, this guy's so this quarterback. We can't handle him. It is absolutely amazing. And you look at the Titans game in the first place, right? Not an elite quarterback. Driving to win the game at home. Gives it up. Gives it up.
Yeah.
Now, the Green Bay Packers, I mean, I don't know what happened to Aaron Rodgers.
Weather.
Yeah, probably weather, but yeah, I don't care. It didn't break my heart, to be honest with you. But he's an elite, we're not going to say he's not an elite quarterback because of that, right?
No, he is.
Yeah, he is. And we would be glad to have him, probably, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But in the Rams game, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I just can't believe it. It's almost like a Hollywood scriptwriter wrote the script for that, but I know, and I was looking at it on social media, people are going, I can't believe this. The FIX must be in. That's how overwhelmingly crazy that game was, where Tom Brady gets him back in the game. Two fumbles perfectly handed to Tampa Bay. A 47-yard field goal, the all-pro kicker short. I'm going, what, did Brady somehow deflate the ball during a timeout?
47 right yards.
I'm going, what the hell is going on? My head was spinning like crazy in this game. Yeah. And, of course, I bet the Rams. And I'm going back and forth. And I'm going, I might as well just give it up to the gods. I'm a freaking Jedi. They tied the game. I'm going, there's no question I'm losing this game. And
want?
Then the Rams come back with Cooper Kupp. And I'm going, what is going on? I've never seen anything like this.
Unbelievable.
It was the best weekend of football in my entire life.
And that I've ever seen.
It was
ever.
The best one ever. There's never been a better weekend of football than that. Ever. Ever, 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 ever. It was super exciting. Let me tell you, I used to have this theory that if like something really, really, really bad happened to a bunch of football players, people might stop watching. Nope. There's nothing to make people stop watching. Did you see? Those games were incredible. It was incredible to see. And it caused me some more concern with the Eagles. And this is what it opened me up to. I thought for sure it was basically Russell Wilson or a veteran or Hurts. Now I'm at Russell Wilson or a veteran, Hurts, or possibly a draft pick. If there's a guy, I don't care what the people say, the conventional wisdom. If there's a guy in that draft who can throw like those guys. If you watch the throws that both of those in a bunch of them. But that last game, if you just watch that game, look at the throws that both those quarterbacks made. I want a quarterback who can do that. If Hurts can learn to do that, fine. If a veteran out there like Rodgers or Russell Wilson are there, fine. But if there's a guy like Willis from Liberty, for example, who has a really big arm, if their football people say they can do that, I want that. I'm sorry. I want that for the Eagles.
Here's the question, though. Jen, you can get into this, too, because you raised your hand a little earlier.
Yeah.
The Hurts thing, because you've been pro-Hurts.
Yes.
What are the chances that Hurts is ever going to be able to make those kind of plays? Let's be really honest about it.
6%.
He has no chance to make those kind of plays. All due respect. And people last week were going, well, all you need is a game manager, dude, and you know, draft defense, and you put a really good team around them. Look at that. Look at the high level of play you saw because of those quarterbacks. It's like JV and varsity.
So absolutely correct.
Yep. And it wasn't just, but obviously the last game was the dessert. I mean, it's just incredible. Perhaps the greatest football game ever played. I'm not exaggerating. Like, well, maybe it takes time, but it might have been the greatest football game ever played. But what Burrow showed in year two, got hurt year one against the Titans. They didn't block for him but one time the whole game. Yet cool as a cucumber in the pocket, and every time Chase had a slither of opening, bang, there. And that the one play where they finally got it was the play that led to the game-winning field goal. Cool as a cucumber, making the throws. But those guys also can run. They run like Hurts and throw the ball. If you can get a quarterback, whether it's Hurts or outside hire, that's my dream for the Eagles. I want, looking at the league now, I want that. Because I don't even know. We've never had that in this city. We've never had. I love Five had a really big arm, but he wasn't like those guys. That's.
Dude, I'm telling you, people that bet the game see it from a different viewpoint. I got so overloaded with the angst that I had to actually go away from the Bills game.
Uh-oh.
When the Bills scored that touchdown, where he hit the wide open guy in the end zone because he broke the corner's ankle, And then they get the 2-point conversion. I'm going, all right, they're going to win the game. Kansas City comes right back with the hill play. Yeah. I couldn't take it. I literally turned to, I said, I need something to clear my mind. I put on Cops Reloaded.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, Mike.
I swear to God, I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take the angst. I had to have something bring me down.
And that brought you down?
So I hit Cops Reloaded with the typical domestic disturbance in Florida with the white people and the guy with a yellow-tipped cigarette. And,
but that gave you less angst.
Yeah, it did. I had to calm down. I go, I got to get some normalcy here. I put Cops Reloaded on. I come back to the game. The Bills are in the lead. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You got money on the game and change, you go up and down like crazy.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And just the football itself, it was incredible. How do you have 4 victories like that, all of them walk-offs? You have 4 walk-off games, 3 field goals, and then, as if that wasn't enough, you get the overtime touchdown from the all-pro, all-world quarterback to the all-world, all-pro tight end. Are you kidding me?
13 seconds left. They don't squib kick it, and we'll talk about the ramifications of all that. Andy Reid's got 3 timeouts. This is another planet I'm living on.
You are. And
really,
it's
another planet. And I go, all right, I got to understand that I'm just destined to lose here. Yeah. And then once you understand that, you can take the result.
Yeah, that's a good point. Not only did Andy have his timeouts, he also all of a sudden has parables. when things get grim, be the Grim Reaper. What is this? Yeah. Where is
usually
this Andy Reid?
When things get grim, have a hamburger.
Right.
That's what he said when he was here. It was always a food reference.
And now all of a sudden he's got little cute little lines. His team's all perfectly coached up for the moment. Those guys were completely calm.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
Well, here's the thing. Let's just talk quickly and we'll go into a break and we'll talk about all this. The kickoff, they decided to kick in the end zone, which takes no time off the clock. They give it to 25. And a lot of people are second guessing that you should have squib kicked it. Now, here's the problem with a squib kick. If you squib kick it, and as hard as you hit it, sometimes it won't bounce the right way. Sometimes it'll bounce right in the air. Somebody catches it at the 35 or 40 even, goes down on one knee. Because a lot of people don't realize you can give yourself up. Those guys were probably told, when you get the ball, give yourself up. 1 second goes off the clock.
Yeah, I think by rule, the most it could go in that situation is from 13 to 11.
Yeah.
But you got extra yards.
Right.
It's the trade-off.
So now, the other thing is, if you are successful, yes, you can kick it, and they have to catch it somewhere. Suppose they have to catch it at the 10. Maybe they don't give themselves up there. Maybe they do try to run it back, and you can take more time. But there's a lot of different things that can happen. It's not as simple as you just squib kick it, and you're going to win.
Right. It was. Some people made it out to be a no-brainer. I think it was a choice that could have gone either way, and then we're basing the result, and then we say the decision was bad based on the result. We're not just looking at the decision on its own.
Right.
They had the number one defense. They should not have been able to go 44 yards in 3 plays with less than 13 seconds with the number one defense.
Right. It's like that knock down the cats game at the boardwalk where they have 4 different levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like most of the time you throw it hard and you miss completely.
Right.
But you may hit it. You may hit one. You can't count on the ball going straight through and you're going to miss a cat.
Right.
And it's going to go all the way to the goal line. Sometimes you hit a cat and it goes down.
Right.
As unlikely as that is. And if you hit the cat, that cat's standing at the 35-yard line.
Right. And you got 2 seconds, but you spotted them 10 extra yards. So there's a trade-off. It's like 6-1. It wasn't just an automatic thing. Maybe he did the wrong thing, but I don't think it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, I probably would have tried the squib kick.
I agree.
Because if you're kick, or maybe, I don't know, can a kicker like hit it perfectly to like where they have to field the ball at the 3? Like that's where you got to count on your kicker, because some kickers can do that.
Some kickers can, but you also got to base on what your kicker has done all year. Are you going to ask them to do something different in that spot?
Yeah, hold up. It's like deselling your golf swing.
Right.
Right. Yes. On the way down.
Because you saw with Tampa, if it goes out of bounds, now they get it at the 40 and no time ran off the clock. Now you can lose with a touchdown, because if you give them 13 seconds at the 40, you never know.
Yeah.
So you got to risk that.
All right. So other things that happened. Sixers lost Friday. Horrible loss. Doc freaked out at a questioner. They come back and they win against San Antonio last night. The Flyers, meanwhile, continue to lose. It is just unbelievable. Just unreal. So whatever's on your mind, 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So right now it is time for What's Brewing with Jen, brought to you by Dunkin'. It's always game on with Dunkin' Rewards members. Pick your day to score free medium hot coffee one time per week. Valid at participating locations for a limited time. Exclusions apply. Jen Scordo, spanning the globe for three interesting tales.
Thanks for forgetting me.
What do you got?
Again. All right. Starting off with Brittany Matthews, my favorite fiance of Patrick Mahomes. She was back to her old antics this weekend. She was obviously in a suite watching the Chiefs win, and she took a bottle of champagne. Now, you know how a suite works. It's open. There are other fans that are sitting below her, but she doesn't care about them or their dry cleaning bill. She shook that champagne and sprayed the entire area below her. Of course, Patrick Mahomes' crazy brother was there dancing right alongside her, and I would be very angry. Champagne is sticky and nasty, and if it got in my hair, and I would be sending them my dry cleaning bills, my hairdresser bills, all of it. I would be livid at that girl.
She took beers and did it too.
Get all, as excited as you want. Support your fiance as much as you want. But stop being dumb. That was me. That was rude.
It's okay with you people pouring liquor on you?
No.
This is the Big Pimpin' video?
I would understand it.
No. I don't.
I don't understand.
Spray it in your own suite then.
Spray it on somebody in the suite. Why random?
You know, she got carried away because she's probably immature, but like, you know, she's excited and champagne is, connotes excitement. So it's like, you know, what are you going to do?
Were these
Chiefs fans that she showered with?
Yeah, it was a home game.
Yeah,
Then what are the Chiefs fans going to get mad at that?
I don't want people pouring liquor on me ever.
You're not the quarterback's fiance and you don't love the quarterback.
What I'm saying is if I'm at an Eagles game.
You love the quarterback. You love the player.
Yeah.
And the fiance sprays you as part of the celebration.
No, what are you doing?
No.
Are you lucky? Well, I touched something like a battery. What are you doing pouring stuff on me?
All right, how about you're a Phillies fan and they win in 2008 and Brett Myers comes out, he's spraying everybody with stuff. The fans.
Yeah, I didn't care for that.
No.
But he's also a player. If Brett Myers' wife was doing it.
Well,
I'm saying, like, I
don't know.
In a moment like that,
excitement moment, I guess you gotta suck it up.
Nope, I think she should be banned from the game on Sunday. She should have to watch it home.
I agree with you.
Yeah, like, you'll be pouring random stuff on there.
And there is a very large social media thing having people back the Bengals because, you know.
No one wants to see her.
Is going to go home and say, damn, the Chiefs won, but I got sprayed with champagne by a fiance.
It's cold out there.
I'm not going to care about that.
Why am I wet?
Champagne is sticky.
Yeah, I want none of this.
It is.
All right, moving on.
Move on.
A mystery animal has been rescued by a woman in Pennsylvania in Adams County, which is out like near Gettysburg. Baffling wildlife experts in the state. Nobody can figure out what kind of animal this is. It kind of looks like a dog. It kind of looks like a coyote, but then it has characteristics of a coyote at one point and different characteristics of a dog at another. They did some blood work on the animal. It was just scared and cold, so the woman lured the animal into her basement, got it warm, gave it some water and all that stuff, called the local wildlife people. They came out, did some tests. They can't figure out what kind of animal it is.
Well, it was actually probably a country breeding situation.
A country breeding situation?
Yeah, you know, people in the country, they crossbreed stuff. See what they come up with.
Or it just happened they bred
a coyote with a dog, maybe. I don't know.
No, somebody would not do that.
Why not? Why are you kidding me? People in the country?
I can see that maybe it happens.
This state's like Alabama, Jen.
Oh, my God.
Well, it is. Between two cities, it's kind of Alabama.
Oh, man.
I don't think
somebody purposely would do it, but I could see that it could happen in nature, and then maybe.
Well, maybe in nature, but maybe it was some farmer.
Yeah, like ligers happen. in nature
right,
once in a while.
Like we're, not supposed nature,
to,
yeah.
we're not supposed to happen in nature.
There's a lot of free time out there in the country.
Oh, man, Mike. They're running more tests that are going to take like 4 weeks to try to figure out what this animal is. But it's doing much better. It's healthy.
That's
it's
good.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
getting, you know. Oh, okay. So, remember how last week I was sad that White Castle was not doing their yeah. Valentine's Day?
Uh-huh.
Well, thank God for my beloved Waffle House, because Waffle House is doing their Valentine's Day stuff this
very
year,
nice.
Offering a romantic Valentine's Day dinner. Waffle House is going to serve the romantic dinner on Valentine's Day. 150 restaurants are going to dim their lights, set their table with white tablecloths and candles, and offer special menu items. And all you have to do is make a reservation by calling your local Waffle House restaurant. Don't know if the two of you know that I am obsessed with Waffle House.
You're a Southerner.
Yeah, it's one
so
of my
I would
favorite
think you,
places.
You are. So. Yeah, I've been in many Waffle Houses. The conversations you can get into a Waffle House are very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, the hash brown.
That is the best
the
thing that
the
you
hash
can
brown,
get.
Yeah. It's
scattered, covered in chunks.
Yeah, lard, all kinds.
So good. I love a Waffle House. I get the exact same thing every time, too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Never had a waffle at a Waffle House, ever. I don't know anybody that has ever ordered a waffle at a Waffle House.
Because waffles stink.
Yeah, it's,
waffles do stink. But you would think
pancakes and French toast so much better. Waffles stink.
What's interesting about you, Jen, is that you would blanch the champagne sprayed on you, and yet you go into a Waffle House, and for 2 weeks your clothes smell like grease.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
You can't get that off.
You wash your clothes, plus you made that choice.
Right.
She doesn't want to get kidnapped and thrown into a Waffle House.
Right.
That's what she
you
did.
You smell Waffle House on yourself, your skin, for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
All right.
Boney apparently is a Wafflesman, too.
He is? He likes waffles?
He likes a third tier.
I'm not a waffle man.
The pancake and the French toast is better.
Perfectly fine.
Waffles third.
I'm a savory breakfast person.
Yeah.
At all. Like, I don't like French toast, pancakes, waffles, none of it.
You don't like pancakes?
Really?
Give me eggs, bacon,
well,
sausage.
Well, I'm a pancake man, but I doctor up my pancakes with, like, little chorizo crumbles.
Oh, a little sweet savory thing.
Yeah.
All right, I could go for that.
Yeah. I take a break. We came out with the 4 o'clock hour and Brian Westbrook after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4 o'clock on the Mike Missinelli Show. 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. Well, I know my man was glued to the TV set all day, Saturday and Sunday, and we're going back and forth with the games that we saw, like, just hard to believe, the ebbs and flows in these games. And at the end, I think we can all agree that elite quarterbacks make a difference. To expound upon that, we bring in the great number 36, Mr. Brian Westbrook. Hello, Brian.
Good afternoon, Mike. You miss how you doing, my friend?
Well, not as good as you, because I had the Bills.
Well, it was a good weekend, a great weekend of football, great weekend to celebrate the NFL, and it was another 3-1 weekend for Brian Westbrook. It was a great weekend for me, I must admit.
All right, let's look at some of the things, that this craziness that went on. And you can tell the elite quarterbacks from the non-elite. So let's start with the Titans, who look like they have the game home and in hand. They're driving, and my man throws a pick, his third of the game.
Well, I think you said it right. When you get to the divisional round, you have to have a super talented quarterback. You have to have someone that can win a game for you, that can put together a drive with his arm, that has the ability to carry a football team. And you're right, Ryan Tannehill, at the least opportune time, threw the ball to the other team. He made a basic mistake trying to throw the ball into double coverage. And that's no way to win a football game. And really, he lost a football game for his football team because of it.
Yeah, okay, so now that's one. Now we go to two. Now, explain, Aaron Rodgers gets him down the field. All of a sudden, it shuts down for him. What did you see in that game that enabled San Francisco to shut him down?
You know, I think going into the game, I felt like Aaron would have some wide open receivers, and he did have some open receivers, and he was able to connect with them. But at some point, it looks like the defensive line of the 49ers kicked it into another gear. Eric Armstead just got, I mean, there was something different about that defensive line and what they were able to do to pressure Aaron Rodgers. And it kind of, in my mind, reminds me of the Eagles and what they have to be able to do. They have to certainly have elite quarterback play. We understand that part. But when you have a defensive line that can pressure a quarterback, no matter who that quarterback is, that changes a game. And San Francisco 49ers have that type of defensive line that can change a game, and they affected Aaron Rodgers because of it.
All right, let's look at him, though, as an all-timer, because, you know, the assumption is he's an all-time all-timer. However, he's lost a lot of home playoff games. He seemingly can't beat the Niners. What's the legacy of Aaron Rodgers here?
He'll still go down as one of the all-time best quarterbacks ever, but it sounds like and it feels like it's a regular season type of award for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the last 3 years he's been 13-3 in the regular season, and then he gets into the playoffs and they can't get to the Super Bowl. That's just not good enough. The Green Bay Packers as an organization had Brett Favre followed by Aaron Rodgers and still only had two Super Bowls to speak of it in the last, 40 years? That's just not enough. It just kind of speaks to what they're able to do in the regular season versus the postseason. Regular season, they're great. The postseason, they find a way to beat themselves.
All right, looking at your crystal ball, what happens with him?
I think he's somewhere else next year. I think he finds a different place to play next year. You know, I felt like his time had ran out last season with the 49ers, and they had all that turmoil in the offseason. I think at this point, he finds another place to play next year.
All right, now let's move on to these two games yesterday, which were just mind-bending. And so we'll go with the Tampa Bay Bucs and the Rams. It's 27-3. Now, one of the things I thought would hurt the Rams was they fumbled the goal line before halftime, which would have really put a dent in what Tampa Bay, like, momentum. They squander that. They squander a field goal. They give it up twice. As you're watching this game, what are you saying to yourself?
Well, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that a team can self-destruct in the way that the Rams did. For them to fumble away opportunity after opportunity, just like you mentioned, right before they have to put the game away, they've given away opportunities to put more points on the board in the second half. It was amazing to watch. It was also amazing, and I was actually saying to myself, there's no way that Tom Brady's going to come back and make it happen. And then in the fourth quarter, I'm saying, there's no way that the Rams can stop Tom Brady. There's no way that Tom Brady is going to be able to stop. It almost felt like it was written for Tom Brady to have another dramatic comeback to win a football game. It just didn't work out in their favor.
Like a weird text back. Jalen Ramsey gets beat on the bomb. The last thing they can do is give up a bomb there. They give up a bomb, and it's Jalen Ramsey. And it almost felt like it was the script was written here.
Yeah, I was shocked that Jalen Ramsey. Listen, Mike Evans is a really good receiver, so at some point you got to believe that he's going to get a chance to make a play. A huge play right there for the Bucs. You know, this is kind of the thought process, and I want to take you back to when the Eagles played the Bucs in the first round. You got to give your receivers, I don't care who it is, give them a chance to go win downfield. Maybe there's a PI, maybe there's an opportunity to make a play down the field, but you got to give at some point Devontae Smith an opportunity to make a play downfield the same way that Tom Brady gave Mike Evans an opportunity to make a play downfield. You never know what happens. It really pulled the Buccaneers even closer to winning that football game.
All right, so they tied the game, and then all of a sudden the Cooper Kupp play happens where he gets the covers on it with a safety. I'm watching these games, Brian, and look, you played offense your whole life. I'm going, with an elite quarterback, with skilled players that can strike, it almost looks like the defense, like, gets scared to death.
Well, to me, it looked like the defenses that have been, you know, pressure type of defense. Let's get after the quarterback. They went back to the well one too many times. And now they have a center of the field safety where you're playing one-on-one, man-to-man on either side. And then a big-time player, Cooper Kupp, one of the best receivers in the game, came up with a huge play. It was just a time for a better offense beating a very good defense. Cooper Kupp made a huge play in that football game and really put him in a position to win it.
All right, let's go to the nightcap because I can't even explain it. I've never seen anything like it. And I'm just curious to know what your emotions are as you're watching this game.
Well, the night game just put a cap on the best weekend of football that I've been through in my entire life. You know, all the games were really, really close. Wasn't all the road teams actually won? I mean, which it seems like it's unheard of. Except for the Chiefs, all the other road teams won. But I mean, listen, it was amazing to watch that game last night, because there were several times, and we're texting back and forth, there were several times where I'm like, yep, Mike, you won this one. And the next thing you know, Mahomes comes right back firing. They find a way to get it into overtime. And then the big play there at the end to Kelce. It was an amazing game. There's nothing that beats playoff football when you have two competing quarterbacks that can throw the ball all across the field out there in the game. It was just a great game.
All right. They take the lead. There's 13 seconds left. All right, now you got to strategize how you're going to kick this off, and you're going to strategize if they have 13 seconds. They do have three timeouts. How are you going to play it defensively? What's going through your mind at that point? Did they make the right calls here?
Well, it's easy. What you do on the kickoff is you squib kick it or kick one of those high balls that lands right around the 5 or 10 yard line. So that's going to give your coverage team the ability to go down and cover a kick, and maybe they get the ball out to the 25. That's great. That's going to take 5 or 6 seconds off the clock. So now instead of 13 seconds with the ball at the 25, now you have 5 or 6 seconds left. Maybe you have 7 seconds left in the game. That limits the amount of choices that Patrick Mahomes has at that point. And because of that, you probably don't allow them to tie the football game. But instead, you kick it into the end zone, you get the ball at the 25, and now Patrick Mahomes has a full 13 seconds. And it's obvious what he was able to do with it. One of the best quarterbacks in the game, you know, trying to get 40 yards, it wasn't very hard. And they were able to go get down and be able to kick that field goal.
All right, so kicking the ball long through the end zone was not the right play.
No, you don't take any time off the clock when you do that. You want to take time off the clock, you know, at some point. You don't want to give them any time. You want to give that offense the least amount of time possible to come up with the play.
Well, how is that decision made? Like, it seems so fundamental. Like there's so many coaches here. There's analytical guys. Like, what is McDermott, what is he getting on his headset?
Well, what he's saying is that 13 seconds, even if they get the ball back, 13 seconds won't be enough to go from the 25 to the opposing, you know, 40, 35 or something at that point. And he was absolutely wrong. Don't give Patrick Mahomes that opportunity. The same way that you would feel about Brady. Never again. We don't want to give the ball back to Brady. You want to give those elite quarterbacks the ball back with the least amount of time. And for whatever reason, McDermott missed that. And he's a sharp guy. I love Sean McDermott. And it's crazy to me that he thought that was a good idea at that point.
Yeah, I guess his special teams guy's the guy that makes the call. But so, you know, if you're the head coach, you probably have to come in here and overrule whatever it is. All right, so here's the bottom line. It's the last thing I want to get into with you. Because the conclusion that most people had after watching this game is, you cannot be an elite team without an elite quarterback. And so when it comes down to the Eagles, you go, do we have that type of guy? And I think, to be fair, most people would say we do not.
We haven't seen it yet. I mean, if Jalen Hurts can turn into one of those quarterbacks, any one of them that we saw this weekend, it will be surprising. I'm thinking back to quarterbacks in the NFL. To go from where Jalen Hurts is currently to becoming one of the elite guys, it's just not very many of them that have the ability. Now, this is what you would say. Josh Allen was average at best early on in his career, and then, you know, now he's one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. Yes, that's absolutely true. The difference is Josh Allen still had a gun. He had a rifle for an arm back then when he wasn't very accurate. He wasn't very consistent with his footwork and things like that. At this point, we have to find a way to get Jalen Hurts a stronger arm, to throw with more power and consistency there. And then, you know, all the other things have to work. We haven't seen very many quarterbacks in the league, if any, that has the ability to turn that on. And that's kind of what we're dealing with.
Okay,
at this point.
So if we can't turn that on, and there are two guys that aren't talent, but they're very green, where you're going to draft, do you grab one of them?
I think that probably makes sense for the Eagles, no doubt about it, to go get one And I guess the thought process in my mind would be, okay, we go get one of these guys that has arm talent that's a little bit green. That allows Jalen Hurts to start again next year, which really allows Howie to be, you know, correct in what he said in his press conference. You allow that starter that needs more time to develop, the guy that you're going to pick in the first round. You're going to sit him on the bench, allow him to develop behind Jalen Hurts as Jalen Hurts is a starter. And then in year two, for that guy that has the arm talent and is green, then he will have the opportunity to start or to at least compete for the starting job if Jalen Hurts does not turn things around and become this elite quarterback that we all think that we hope that he should be able to turn into.
All right. For the people following our little nonsensical contest here, I'm up against it.
Two and a half games out, three games left.
Things went well for me this weekend. I want to say this one last thing for everyone in Philly. You have to have an elite quarterback to compete at this level. And we have to find a way to find that guy. Or we need to get elite play from Jalen Hurts. We haven't seen that elite play quite yet. And Mike, you're right. There's no way for you to win this.
I said earlier today, I'm almost ready to wave the white flag to you and say, you know, nice job. But I won't. I won't. Until the end. All right, man. You have a great day. We'll talk to you.
All right,
Brian Westbrook checking in on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.